Thank you. My name is Pastor Emmanuel Oba from Phoenix, Arizona, and this is Gospel Missions International. God bless you. As we read his word this morning, from the book of the Psalm, 127, verse 1, Psalm 127, verse 1, if you can put it on the screen and let us read together. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. So the title of our message this morning, unless the Lord builds the house. Amen? It's a word of caution, a word of advice from the Lord. An advice from him, counsel from him, that we should take note of. And over the years of mankind in this world, many people have advised themselves and others with this word of caution. Unless, except, the Lord builds a house, you are laboring in vain. But I declare in the name of Jesus that our labor shall not be in vain in Jesus. That our walk, our watching, our waiting will not be in vain in the mighty name of Jesus. We have watched, we have labored, and many a times it doesn't pan out the way we want it to be. Some nations, kingdoms, royal families, kings even, emperors in the ages past, them that will be lords and knights of those days and even of our day, they have this thing they call standard, banners, emblems, coat of arms. And if you look through some of them, you will see this word inscribed in many of those banners or emblems or coat of arms, especially among those people that are believers in the medieval time and in our time. You will see it engraved, written, inscribed on their coat of arms, something that reflects this word of the scripture. Some will say, either God or nothing. Some will say, without God, all is vain. Some will say, just different word reflecting this, that points to, except the Lord build the house, we are laboring in vain. And this motto is passed down from generation to generation. So some family, some house, some people adapt it as their motto so that generations to come can follow after their great-great-grandfather, that all we have, all we will ever be, all we can ever attend to, is because of the Lord. And if you read some of this history, where some generations among them start to deviate, that they say the Lord has built this house, putting it as a priority, they start to fail and crumble. And many a times they fade away. They are no more to be reckoned with because they do not follow that initial advice, that maybe their fathers or great fathers has put into place based on revelation that all we are is from the Lord. And when there is no blessing of God, that labor will be in vain. Now, it will be good if we acknowledge that each and every one of us is dependent upon God. In reality, everybody will say, yeah, I'm depending on the Lord. But at times, action does not show or reflect the truth of this statement. It will be good if every and each one of us come to realize that God has absolute sovereign over everything created, over every person and events that transpire in our life. That God is the one that can decide if your labor is to bear fruit or not, no matter how you paint it or do it or try to do it. Now, this knowledge will help you to realign your life or your thought pattern when you are about to do on any endeavor you are about to face in life. So when the Bible is saying, except the Lord build a house, for this morning, take out the house and put your life in it. Except the Lord build your life, you are laboring in vain. Except the Lord watches over those things you count as value or important, you are watching over them in vain. You may get the best of lawyers, accountants, or watchmen, or security and stuff. The end result comes to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Paul started to tell them, say, yeah, we can build. I build it. It's a master builder. Another person water it. But it is the Lord that gives the increase at the end of the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this is important in the sense that many failures, agony many of us are going through even now as you are watching me, is because we did not realize at the beginning of this labor, of this endeavor, that it has to be the Lord at the end of the day. Not necessarily what I bring to the table or what any man brings to the table. And we're going to come down to the point and say that you have a part to play in the outcome of every event. That God has a part to play. So if this is a house, I will advise you from the beginning, hire God as the general contractor to build this house and put it into his hand. And that is your life, and that is your business, and that is your marriage, and that is your children, and that is your ministry, and that is whatever position or thing that you are or think you will be. The sooner you put it into the hands of the Lord, and the sooner you walk with him to align yourself, the better the outcome will be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If we're taking this as a literal issue, when people want to build a house, at least in our modern day time, having been a designer and work in architectural engineering field before I moved into medical area, the first thing you will do is to get an architect. You sit down with them and tell us what I want to build. The next thing they will do is they bring in the structural engineers, electrical engineers, or whatever, depending on the size of the property or the house you are going to build. And they will now design and come out with what they call blueprint. This blueprint might be the size of this, but that contains everything about this house. You can practically see the house in this blueprint. Then they will take it to the state, to the city where you live, and get a permit. That permit is saying that you can build this house according to this specification. And when the general contractor or the contractors or you are building it, the state will be coming to check and say, are you building according to specification? If you don't build it according to the specification, then your labor is in vain. Because they will put a big red stamp at a point not permitted, not authorized. This has not gone according to the design that was put in the paper here. You may have to go and redo and rebuild and correct. And that is a process you don't want to do because it takes a lot of time and effort and money and headache to correct a blueprint, make a red line, and redesign it again. I want you to know in this discussion that that house is your life and that God has a blueprint of your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The heavenly blueprint that God has already has been designed, marked how Emmanuel Oba is going to go about his life. If you start to doubt, how can that be? He said, those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of the Lamb before the foundation of their world. He already knows everything. He started to tell some people like Jeremiah, say, well, you are still in your mother's womb. I formed thee. And I have ordained you to be this and that and that and that. There is nothing about you. There's nothing about me. There's nothing about any of us sitting here that is new to God. There is nothing you can come up with tomorrow that I say it is new to him. It's an addition. God already knows your past, your present, and your future. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if God knows your past, your present, and your future, why are you going into this endeavor without him? Why are you embarking on this journey without considering him first? Who knows it? Who already marked it? Who already ordered it? It will turn to a futile effort when you disregard God's acknowledging God in the affairs of your life. Unfortunately, many of us do attest that we acknowledge God, that we know, we believe that God has given us pass mark to go ahead. But many a times, it is a lie we are telling ourselves. Many of us just concocted it to go after what we want, not necessarily what God wants. And so, down the years or down the time or months or weeks, things start to go wrong. We start crying and say, why is it turning like this? It's not supposed to be so. I didn't expect this to be so because we did not consult, acknowledge God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? But if we do acknowledge God in our ways, I'm going to come to that part later on in this discussion, and things doesn't go as planned, according to your plan or what you think is your plan or plan of God, there is a reason for that. And God has a way of making it come right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he said that all things will always work to good, for good. Together for good for them that love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, when you get God as your general contractor, don't start telling him how to redesign or change it or add this and that because that's what you want. Learn to leave things in God's hand if you have handed it into God's hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What is the most important part of a building? It is the foundation. Amen. It doesn't matter what you put above the ground, how nice it looks, how beautiful it turns out to be. If the foundation is wrong, you are in for a big headache. You move into the house that's so nice built with your nice furniture, call your friends to come and celebrate with you. We don't see many of it in this country. But in many third world countries and some places where they don't have good designers, architects, or contractors that does things according to the plans, according to the design, we see this. It starts having cracks. There will be crack on the wall. The structural element of it will start to have things will start to zig and zag and not looking straight and so beautiful. And you ask somebody, oh my God, this is my new house. It's having problem. And they will look at it and say, the problem is from the foundation. You are in major problem. That is why before you start anything in life, do not just go by your feeling. Acknowledge God. What does he mean to acknowledge God? Allow him to lead. Allow him to show you the path. Allow him to guide you. Allow him to be the one that makes the call. And this is hard. And we still call God our Father. And the reason why it is hard is because we are not hearing from our Father about the things we are to do. And so we reap headache and sorrow and pain. But that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul started to speak in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Quickly, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Just go through this quickly. 1 Corinthians said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he does what he builds thereon. Whatever you build on this foundation, even when the foundation is correctly laid, there is still a process of building, putting on the walls, putting on the elements, protection roofs, putting on the windows, putting on everything that goes to make it a complete house. He said, be careful how you build on it. Many of times, people come into people's stuff, and they were supposed to be people that are supposed to help them to build, to do things right, and they turn on to build with hairs and stubbles. And God at times call you out and say, why do you step into this thing and destroy it? Paul is telling us here, be wise. God has given him a wise spirit to be a master builder. But all he was called to do was to lay a foundation. And after that foundation is laid, you and me and many others are called to build on top of it. He said, but every man be take heed how you build. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Because what you build might be solid block of concrete or might be wood and stubbles. And he said that at the end of the day, every man's work will go through what? Purifying fire. It will not escape that. And then what you build will happen. Will show what it is made of. So when we build our life, and God has laid the foundation and given me and you the grace to build our life, life of our children, life of our husband or wife, or people that come across us. Some of us build gossip into people's life. Some of us go into people's life and tear it apart and think that their work will not be tried. Some of us build sow seed of discord into people's life. Some of us follow the crowd to agree that all white people are evil. Some of us follow the crowd and say every black person is just not worthy, they are this and that. They are racist and so many things. The past 2 days, 3 people have tried to build into my life negative things. I didn't solicit for it. It was discussion. And they want to sow seed that this is this with this type of people or that type of people. And you, a Christian, at times allow yourself to start to build on this kind of stuff instead of discouraging it. I told the lady yesterday, I said, don't ever bring gossip into discussion with me again. She said, what do you mean? I said, these things you just said, can I take it to the person you said it about? There was quiet. The answer was nothing. Because those gossip doesn't want to go just to sow in my heart false information about others. So Paul is saying, be careful what you sow. When people start to tell you about your husband or your wife, or people start to say things that will destroy your family and you are not wise enough to listen to God first and you jump to it, you are not building correctly. God says, a sect, the Lord built the house. They labor in vain. So you are building, you are watching, everything has to come under recognition that God, the eternal God, is watching and is going to supervise your work at the end of the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So be careful what you build in other people's life or even in your own life. Be careful what you build in other people's family, in their ministry, in their business, in any area you are called to work. Make sure that you are not building falseness or falsehood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, there are wrong and right way of applying these scriptures. I'm going to go through some of them quickly to point out something to you. But before we do that, I want us to just quickly look at this scripture also. Luke chapter 14, verse 31. Please hurry up. Let's be done with it. He said, or what king going to make a war against another king, seated not down first, and consulted whether he be able to, with 10,000, meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? This will reflect on the next discussion we're about to have on this. About being able to sit down and think before you start building, before you start taking action, before you jump into certain things, think, pray through, make sure that you carry the opinion or the advice of God into it, first and foremost. Now, this king went to go to war against another king. His spies came back and said, yep, this other king you're about to go to war has 20,000 soldiers. He asked his captain, say, how many do we have? He said, 10,000. Now, that is planning, that is thinking, which many of us find it hard to do. Oh, let's go to war. They jumped to go to war. And when he was already in the war front and right facing one another, he found out that he was at number 2-1. Go to verse 32. 14:32, please. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he didn't come close, he didn't come to war front before making this decision. He found out that he was at number 2-1. He initiated this war, but what did he do? He called. He sent an ambassador of peace. He made a very quick change from war to peaceful king to ask what are the conditions so that we don't even have to go to this war at all. This is a wisdom we're going to discuss in a few minutes. Let us quickly look again at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth the saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now, the three scriptures I've read to you spoke of wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Paul said, I am a wise master builder. I laid a foundation. Another king who is about to go into an endeavor, a labor, that may or may not produce what he wanted, he asked the wisdom to acknowledge I am being going into this war with a difference of 2-1. And he acted wisely and sent an ambassador to go do what? Find a way to negotiate peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this third scripture says, therefore, whoever heareth this saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto what? A wise man, which built his house upon what? A rock. Go to verse 25. And the rain come, because it will come. And the flow came because there is just a point in that labor, in that endeavor, that there will be rain, there will be sunshine, there will be flow, there will be whatever. It will come. And the winds blew and beat upon them and the house. And it fell not, for it was done what? Founded upon a rock. You see, except the Lord build the house, Divine part comes from when you didn't do your diligent duty by doing what? Acknowledging the Lord in that endeavor, in that plan, in that thing you are to do. It doesn't matter what it is, you have to acknowledge God. Acknowledging God goes on just in consultation, it's also acting in wisdom and in faith. So he's saying that whoever hear this word and apply them is like somebody who built his house on a rock. But then if you go the other way and this person went and built on a sand, why would somebody who have common sense have the option of choosing a solid rock to put his house, a good foundation, go build on a sinking ground? I've seen that in people's life. I've seen that in our decisions. I've seen that how we manage situations that come upon us. We leave the solid rock that is God and take the advice or the opinion or the inclination of man that doesn't go nowhere. Because that sounds better. Because that makes more sense to your natural carnal body, mind. Because the way of the Lord might not be so easy the way you want it at the beginning, but the end result is better. So these three scriptures pointed at what? Making decision based on faith and wisdom of God. Based on good consultation, both with God and mine in some cases. Now let me point out the area we are going to in this discussion. The wrong and right ways to apply this. There is one or two or three or four groups of people that apply this scripture I'm going to bring out to us quickly this morning. One is those who pray or those who acknowledge God in their ways. But they do nothing in terms of labor. I have seen this so many times. These are people who have big or what they consider to be faith in God. That their assumed or presumed faith in God blinded them to not apply wisdom. They pray through, they even fast through. They wait on the Lord through, but they don't do their diligent duty in searching out the wisdom of the things they are about to do. They move on by faith as presumed faith. I call it presumed because if you apply the right kind of faith, it will guide you in wisdom. It will not need great wisdom in the things you are about to do. In the endeavor that will matter in your life, or in the life of your loved ones or your children. So they pray through, they have this big faith, and they jumped into it and neglected the labor part. There are two aspects to these scriptures. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's read quickly Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now here are the two parts. You acknowledge God and he will direct you on what to do. Some people actually acknowledge the Lord. They pray through. They wait on the Lord through. They have this big faith. But when it comes to the labor part, directing your path will stray. That is why it becomes a veil. You may do one part, and when you forsake the other one, it doesn't work. I am an advocate from experience, from my own failures, from my own mistakes, that you have to acknowledge God and do your own part, the labor part of it. And you have to wait and see and let God direct your path. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So that our work doesn't go down to drains. Those are the first type of people. They acknowledge God but forsake faith, forsake wisdom. And so their work comes to nothing. There are those that walk, acknowledge, but faith acknowledge God. They put in the labor, they put in the effort in building, but they do not acknowledge God. These are people that felt that they are able, they have the wisdom, they have the power, they have the might. Go check out the Tower of Babel. That's exactly what happened. Nimrod in building, they came together and said, wow, we are able, we are unified, we can do it. Read it through scriptures. He said, let us build a tower that will reach unto heaven. What is the purpose of this tower they were going to build? They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to pierce and go through to where that decision making is coming from. That is the mindset of men at times. We build all this stuff, we accumulate all this stuff, we initiate all this stuff, but in truth, we are just doing it for ourselves without acknowledging God as part of it. And so when heaven looked at the levels of man, said, well, they are united, so they can basically do whatever they want to do. But know what? Let us go and scatter them. Let us change their language. Let there be miscommunication among them so that this world will come to nothing. They never wasn't by themselves. They are trying to build something, whatever, but they are not going to glorify God with it. This is why many of ourselves initiated labor fails. The Bible made it clear that by strength shall no man prevail. It is not you. Anything we are doing that God is not paramount, it's not number one. The reason that God might have the glory, there is great chances, mostly, that it will come to vain, it will come to nothing. As I pray earlier this morning, we pray that that is not our portion in Jesus' name. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. So they now decided to build, they now start to do great things, but they leave the path of acknowledging God. For those of us who are called to salvation, anything we want to do and we do not want to acknowledge God in it, it will not work out well. At times it doesn't, in fact, it will not work out well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I pray that God will give us wisdom, even at this point in our life, as you are watching, as you are hearing this, to before you take action in things, jump into things, seek God's faith. Acknowledge him and then ask him, how am I going to apply this in a practical form so that your labor will not be in vain. Now, in this second group of people, they tend to bow to what they build. What they build tend to control them. They tend to worship what they have accumulated or what they have acquired. It becomes their God. It controls them. It throws, one man was telling me how he has 5,000 workers. And he came down to nothing at a point in his life because he did not acknowledge God. He's a billionaire. Part of the problem is that he built all this thing by himself. And he was busy praising himself, worshiping them. But he was a seed of God. And God pulled the plug. And the whole thing come crumbling down. And through that medium, he found Jesus Christ. And when he found Christ and decided to write things, family members, everybody around him was against him. You can't write it. You can't correct it. You can't go this way. This thing you have built on a sinking ground, you can't move from here now. He has to give it all for his soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? But that problem could have been prevented if at the initial, at the beginning, when the foundation is being laid, it was laid completely on that solid rock. So this second group of people tend to worship what they have built. And if they are seed of God, God may pull it under you for you to learn. But it will be costly and painful. I pray that that will not happen to any of us. Amen. There is this other group of people who neither acknowledge God or put in the labor. There are a lot of them in Americans today. They blame everybody but themselves. It is either that person or that person. It was never their fault. It's either that it is this government or that government. They don't see the part that they have not acknowledged God or put in the labor that is required for them to see a better outcome for themselves. They go about blaming and they will sow seed of discord in your heart. To carry that blame and transfer, it's a spirit that's going on among so many people today. That's why we have so much sharp division in the country. 50%, 50% practically. Barely any common ground. God is not in the equation. God is not seen or admitted. We are all doing things to fit our own agenda. This third group of people, they will not acknowledge God. They will not put in any labor, but they will be blamers. They will be the one that will cast aside every advice or anything you want them to do. But God is telling us in his word today, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, so that he can direct your path. The last group of people are the people who are doing what we want them to do or what God wants them to do. They not only acknowledge God, but they also do what? They put in the labor and the effort. And there's a beautiful fruit, dividend of God's blessing. And it is a happy thing to see. The only advice I have for such people is that when these blessings or goodness of God start to multiply, do not ascribe glory to yourself. Amen? Do not think because you prayed through. Do not think because you fast through. Do not because you have given so much to others. Do not think because it's all by you. At the end of the day, it is God that does what? Brings out the blessing. Increases, blesses the work of your hand. Except the Lord build the house, you still labor in vain. But when you do the right thing and you see dividend of God's blessing, ascribe, bro, if anybody wants to promote you, quickly do what you should do. Say, it is all by the Lord. Give him the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When they start to promote you, hey, Emmanuel, how you have become this and that? No, it is God. If Herod or whatever was his name, which was done that was died, they were promoting him and carrying him up and he started to say yes, and suddenly he was struck down in the midst of his party. When somebody comes against you in that way, they are trying to destroy your soul. Don't acknowledge it. Give glory to God, because he's the orchestra. He's the one that brought it to pass. Except the Lord build the house. And in rounding up this morning, I want to say that there's another aspect I want you to look at, because many of us that are watching or seeing this might say, I have done all I can and nothing came out of it. Well, the day is not yet ended. You are still alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Do not give up yet. And if you have done everything you can do and you thought and believe that you have done well in terms of acknowledging God and putting in the labor or the effort that is required, and you are not seeing the result. Or even when it comes to an end before you, I myself have seen that in my own life. And after thinking about it, I decided to follow after the actions of David. Maybe at times the foundation wasn't laid correctly. Maybe at times in building you have failed forgotten to put things in place, or even was laborious or whatever it was. So David went ahead and sinned, and the prophet Nathan came and told him, you have sinned against the Lord. Right now there is a problem in your family. Heaven is not smiling on you. And David repented and started to pray. One of the consequences that a child of this sin will die. And David went on to pray every day. So I was reading the scripture. So every day for 7 days, a king of a whole nation was lying down on the floor in repentance, crying unto God for his mercies. To the point that his servants were afraid for his life. After David had prayed for so many days, on the 7th day, he said the child died. And everybody was afraid to tell him, because he said, wow, if he had put himself through so much when this child was still alive, he might just give up or do something stupid or over this issue. So they were murmuring around him, and he said, is the child alive or dead? They say he's dead. Everybody was like, what's going to happen? Know what he did? Say he went into the house of the Lord. Cleaned up himself. Went there and worshiped God. Came out and went into his house. And his servants came to him and said, what on earth is going on? For these 7 days you have been troubling yourself. You are lying down on the floor. You are mourning through the night. You are praying. You are crying to God. You are doing everything that any human being can do. Because you desired for this child. You desire for this house you are building. You desire that the city you are watching over. You desire for this endeavor, this labor of mine be successful. And you've done everything you can. And heaven says no. Many of us goes bananas at this point. If you have common sense, rejoice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is the time to put it into God's hand. I've done all I can, Lord. I've tried all I can, Lord. I've prayed through, I've fasted, I've labored, I've done everything. But heaven says no. I preached a message on that in the past. When God says no, are you going to slap him? Take him to court? Sue him or something? Your best option at that point is to rejoice and bless him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? The Apostle Paul says God has used him to raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, do every kind of miracle you can think of. Say, but for this affliction I have, I cried unto God. How many times? 3 times. I'm anointed, Lord. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. And this and that. Do this for me. And that way, the Lord says, no. He went back the 2nd time. I cried. I prayed. I've looked unto you. I've said it. I've done everything. And the Lord says, no. And 3 times he went back and God said, no, no, no. At that point, rejoice. Ask me, why should I rejoice? If you have common sense, I say, rejoice at that point. It doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean that heaven has no love for you. As some people will say, why did this happen if God even loved me? If God says, why does this house I built crumble after I've done acknowledge him and put in the labor? I don't know the reason. Don't ask me the reason. Go ask God the reason. All I know is that God says no. Be thankful to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give him the glory. He is the master. And many times it's when you are relaxed like that, when you have reached that point, that you have come to understand that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by your effort, it's not by what you can do or what you cannot do, that God tends, the grace of God tends to override. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you go to the point you say, hey, there's really nothing I can do, I've done it all. But the answer I'm seeing is no. You give God the glory. You start praising the Lord. You start giving him thanks. You start lifting him up. So David went back and said, whoa, everything is lost. Someone said he's gonna, he didn't kill himself. He came out of there, showered, bathed himself, clothed himself, went and ate. When they said, why did you do this? He said, well, when the child was alive, I was crying unto God. Maybe he will have mercy. But he chose not to. What else can I do? He went and comforted his wife, the same wife that was married or got in sin, the same wife that God says, you have sinned, that child will die. What happened? She got pregnant again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God sent the prophet, the same prophet that brought a cause that David cried and there was no result. He called the prophet and said, go to him. Say, this child is love of God. And called him, thinks beside her or something, Solomon. And he became, he initiated, he brought the golden age to Israel. I wonder if that would happen if David had started cursing God, throwing tantrum, kicking everybody, cutting off people's head, because he's king, he could do it. I'm angry, let everybody be miserable. I'm pissed off, let everybody die. No, he showered, he put on his nice clothes, went and worshipped the Lord, came back and ate, went back to his wife, they conceived again, and God turned it a great blessing. The same woman, God turned it around. And out of him came a great blessing to Israel. Solomon, never a wiser king in his day or till today, was one. Because David turned what will be a losing situation into a victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet as we pray this morning. You might be in a losing situation. You might be in a situation that seems, I've done it all. It's not working out. Maybe your building has clashed. I want you to know that God's grace is here to give you a new land. And you can start building again in Jesus' mighty name. Maybe the dream seems to have come to an end. And Satan will wake you up late in the night and say, it's all gone. Tell him that there is still a day, that weeping may still endure for a night. But according to the word of the promise, joy shall come in the morning. Maybe the enemy has said you made a wrong turn and there's no turning back. Tell him that God, my God, when you are God, he specializes in turning around the clock, the time. He can take our yesterday and turn it around for good because he's God. He did it before, he's able to do it again. Even when God has spoken to that man, say, prepare yourself to die because your end has come, just fine. He said he turned his face to the wall and cried to God. Before the same prophet that brought his judgment to the king was past the courts, the Lord said to him again, go back and tell him that 15 whole years is being added to your life. Your 70 years is now going to be 85. So God is God. Area we don't understand, let us not question. If we don't have clarity of answer, let us trust in God, trust and obey. Not everything is supposed to be clear to us, but to God is clear as ABCD. As daylight and sunlight. Not everything can we understand, but we are serving a God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. What we see as darkness is just like a light to him. It's clear as noonday. When he comes to fear and says, my heart is full of fear, tell him, Lord, your Lord is able. He's a shield. and a hiding place to them that trust in him. Do not yield. Tell him that they saved the Lord, build a house. Him that I build in vain. And those that watch the city, if God doesn't watch, the watchman also watched in vain. But by the providence of God, by the grace of God upon us, we declare in the name of Jesus that your labor, your effort shall not be in vain in Jesus' name. That even errors, mistakes that we have done, the Lord will correct it and smooth it over. He will add upon it a blessing. He took the fear of David and turned it around. First time round, there was sin and destruction. But the Lord, through the same womb, brought forth a fruit that God loved and blessed and used him to champion the cause of Israel to his glory. So let us not think that we know it all. This morning I want to pray and say that with God all things are possible. Believe it. Father, we believe it. We want to say we believe it, that with you all things are possible. If we are falling into the first category or second or third, those that acknowledge you and do nothing, those that do nothing but acknowledge you, those that don't even do any of those things, either acknowledge you or labor, we ask for forgiveness in Jesus' mighty name. We now move ourselves by faith and by our love in providence to the fourth category. And Father, let us reap the dividend in the mighty name of Jesus. That our labor shall not be in vain, our building shall not be in vain, our watching shall not be in vain, but shall be fruitful and multiply to your glory in the name of Jesus. And all that we see it shall acknowledge that this is the hand of the Lord. That our own effort is nothing. It is the Lord, the eternal God himself, that is able to make it happen. Our eyes is on you this morning. I pray for those who are watching. I pray for those who are here. I know that we are needy children. There are a lot of things in our hearts that we are crying about, hoping for you to resolve and give us an answer. This morning we pray, Lord, that you give your people a fair and good answer in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody.